Suspense. Tonight, Mr. James Stewart, as star of Consequence, a play, suspense play produced, edited, and directed by William Spear.
Maybe the costume was the decisive factor. Or maybe it would have happened anyway. In any event, the occasion was the 10th reunion. And the class of 29, as such occasions demand, were all dressed identically in cowboy suits. And there was Ted Wolfe, whom I hadn't seen in 10 years, although in college he'd been by far my closest friend. And so, of course, I brought him home to dinner. And Gwen managed to be quite charming, even though it was the maid's night out. She didn't even kick about the oven, and so that's how it started out, just like that. Just like any pleasant, casual little evening.
Oh. Oh, Gwen, it was a wonderful meal. Last one I'll get like that for a while.
Thank you, sir.
Well, you really have to go tonight, Ted? Can't you take another day or so?
Not very well. Got my plane reservations and everything. Anyway, I told him I'd be back this week, and tonight's just about the deadline if I'm going to make it.
What time's your plane?
3 a.m. Oh, well, say, that reminds me. I can't go aboard in this thing.
Well, you probably will. I think you're both kind of stuck on yourselves in those cowboy outfits. Worse than a couple of kids.
Well, sure, I'm going to wear mine to the hospital tomorrow.
No kidding, though. People are going to think I'm nuts.
All right, spoil sport. I'll call up the hotel later, and they'll send your bags over. You can change here. Although I should think a cowboy suit would be a sensation in Ecuador.
Are you really going to Ecuador, Ted? At first I thought it must be a joke.
Oh, you've heard me talk about the work Ted's doing down there.
I know, but Ecuador.
Well, they've got to have medical care out on those plantations some way. And I like it.
Well, I don't see how you stand it. Living like a hermit, cut off from civilization and not making... Well, I mean, they can't pay you.
No, Gwen.
Oh, what time is it? Oh, my goodness, I've got to run.
Oh, you're leaving us, Gwen?
Yes, I promised Mother I'd come out to the country tonight. Anyhow, I know you two would rather talk over old times by yourself.
Oh, I'm sorry. Well, in case I don't see you again, thanks for everything. It's been swell.
Well, you're coming back sometime, aren't you?
Well, maybe 5 years, maybe 10, maybe never.
Oh, silly. You come back next year and plan to stay for a while. Well, I am sorry I have to go, but you two have a nice evening. Are there eggs in the icebox, Phil? Did he always have to have fried eggs at night when he was in college, Ted?
That's Phil, all right.
Well, bye, darling. No, don't even get up to come to the door. Now, I'll phone you tomorrow night.
Goodbye, Gwen.
Have a good trip, Ted. Bye.
Bye. Ah, you're a lucky man, Phil.
Am I?
I suppose you knew that the main reason I came to this shindig at all was to see you.
Well, why me? It's been a long time since you and I had the same dreams, Ted.
You haven't lost them, though. You're still in there pitching.
Oh, yeah. Private practice. 2 cars in the garage, 2 chickens in the pot. That's the kind of ball I've been pitching for the past 10 years, and it's the kind I'll keep on pitching until some other doc says coronary thrombosis and they carry me out.
Can't kid me, Phil. You're happy. And I'd just about given up the idea that there was such a thing as a happy man.
And now you think you've found one.
I know I have. I knew it the minute I came into this room. I knew it the minute I saw her.
Gwen?
Yes, Gwen.
I hate Gwen.
You what?
And what's more, she hates me. Oh, it's nothing that shows on the surface. We get along because we have to. Because my reputation would suffer if we didn't.
Phil, you can't be serious.
No? Why do you think I've given up every dream I've ever had? Why do you think I spend my life treating the imaginary ills of a lot of wealthy hypochondriacs? So Gwen can have this and Gwen can do that, so Gwen can satisfy every greedy instinct and every petty, rotten ambition any woman ever had.
Good Lord, I never realized. Look, you got to do something about it, Phil. You got to get out. Go to another city. Go to another country.
Yeah, she'd be after me like a hawk. She'd have me up before the Medical Association. Oh, there were 1,001 things she'd do and would do. I've thought of it every way that's no use. Well, that's off my chest. Now you know. I'm sorry I disillusioned you. Dr. Martin. Oh, yeah. Well, now? Well, right. I'll be right down.
Hi, you're not going out now. I want to talk to you.
Oh, well, I'm still a doc now, even if Gwen, she can't stop that. I'll be back before you leave, though, if you want to stick around. I'd like to ride out the airport with you.
Well, is it really important, Phil?
Well, yeah. Now, just make yourself at home. Fix yourself anything you want in the kitchen. Look out for that oven, though. It leaks if you don't turn it off just right. I won't be long.
Okay. I'll wait, Doctor.
Well, thanks, Doctor. I kind of hoped you would, Ted. And that was the second thing. Ted's deciding to stay, but I didn't know it then. All I knew was that Joe had called me from the office. She was upset. Still, I decided to walk. I was upset, too. When I got there, she was going over the accounts. Hello, darling.
Hello. That was nice.
Well, isn't it always?
Always. Terribly.
Well, what are you doing? There isn't all that rush to get the bills out, is it?
There is, though. For me.
For you?
Mm-hmm.
Well, what is it, Joe? What's the matter?
Phil, I had a talk with Father this evening.
Well, something about us?
All about us.
Well, he doesn't know anything. He couldn't. Nobody does, unless you told him.
You know I wouldn't do that,
well,
Phil.
Well, I'm sorry, darling. I know.
Anyway, it isn't what he knows. It's what he thinks. We had an awful row. He said he'd go to the trustees of the hospital. He said he'd go to Gwen.
He said that?
That's why I'm getting the bills out for you now, because I'm going away.
Well, where? How long?
No, darling, it's not going to be like that. It's for good.
Joe.
It's for good, Phil.
But, Joe, I can't let you go. I know it hasn't been perfect. I know that it's been infinitely worse for you than for me, but at least we've had something. At least I've always known you were here, and on the other side of the door, I could see you and talk to you.
I can't live with a door between us anymore.
Oh, maybe you don't love me enough to... No, darling, I'm sorry. I didn't mean that.
Phil, I'm not playing noble, and I'm not trying to put you on the spot, because it isn't as though there were some decision you could make. There isn't. This had to happen someday, and it has, that's all.
I could go with you.
You couldn't do that, Phil.
Why not? I could change my name. I could go to another city, even another country. I could get back to research. I could...
Oh, darling.
What?
It's no go, Phil.
I know. I asked her for a divorce again this morning.
You don't have to tell me the answer. There is no answer for us, Phil. Not one that we can take. And there we are.
Yeah. Yeah, there we are.
You better go now. I've got all this to do.
Well, let me help you.
No.
Well, why not?
I could weaken, and then where would we be?
Oh, Joe.
No, Phil. Please go. Please, please, please.
All right. All right, I'll go. I don't know how long I walked that night or where. Perhaps most men are weak and never know it. But when you're losing the woman you think you love, that's when you find it out. That's when you'll see yourself at last in the pitiless glare of all your poor, frightened, childish helplessness. And so I walked. And I was sick to the depths of my soul. And I walked some more. And somewhere in the distance I heard a siren. And there was a glow against the sky, a fire. And then I realized I was near my home. And then it wasn't the glow in the sky of any fire, it was my own house. It burned almost to the ground.
Hey, how'd it happen there? Somebody said they think it was the gas. Don't get it.
Stunned and confused, I began edging up through the crowd. And then there was a sudden stillness. And a few men took off their hats. And I saw it. The stretcher, the blanket thrown over the shapeless form. The blackened, shriveled cowboy boot. And I remembered. Ted had been in that house.
They just got him out now.
Yeah, what's left of him. They would hardly know it was a man.
Frantically, I started forward, and then I stopped because I thought somebody had spoken to me, but they hadn't. They weren't looking at me. They were looking at the stretcher on the ground and that thing that lay there on it.
Dr. Philip Martin.
I knew him. Oh, he was a good man.
Poor Dr. Martin. Oh, what an awful way to die.
Suddenly, I was shaking with excitement. I pulled my hat over my eyes. I turned up my collar. I edged back through the crowd, out into the street. I turned the corner, and then I ran. Joe, I'm going with you.
Phil, what did you do? What did you do? You haven't...
No, it's all right, Joe. I'll tell you about it later. But we're free. Joe, we're free. I'm dead. I mean, Dr. Philip Martin, he's dead.